Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. The Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Document Management for Accountants to Go, a monthly podcast program with executive editor Greg LaFollette and the country's foremost document management consultant, John Higgins. These thought leaders discuss all aspects of document management with a laser focus on the special needs of the practicing accountant.
This is Document Management for Accountants to Go, Episode 11, DMS in Practice Management. Hello, Greg LaFollette for Intersection Live, recording today, Document Management for Accountants, Episode 11, visiting with our regular host, John Higgins. And John is a principal with CPA Crossings out in Metro Detroit, and kind of the godfather now of all things digital as it comes to document management in general, the whole technology application for accounting firms in general and document management in specific. John's been around for a long, long time, way before this was cool, and we're very, very fortunate to have John be willing to spend some time with us. He does reviews for us at CPA Technology Advisor, widely recognized as the nation's expert when it comes to document management for accountants. Good morning, John.
Well, good morning, Greg, and thanks for the introduction. I appreciate that.
Well, everything there absolutely true. You've done a lot for in the profession and for the profession, and I appreciate that. And again, I appreciate your time. We've been doing this for almost a year. This is episode 11. We'll be recording episode 12 on Tuesday, January 12th, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for those of you who occasionally dial in, we record all of our podcasts live on TalkShoe, so you can simply go to TalkShoe.com and click and listen in. And if you'd like to join, we occasionally bring somebody in, and we may do that more next year, John. We did it a couple of times last year, right?
Yeah, and I think it worked out really well, and it's always good to get others involved, especially people who have been working with particular solutions in their office and some of the challenges and things they've found that have worked effectively for them. We can all learn from bringing some of those folks in. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to have some other ideas and some other opinions in, and kind of spices up what we're doing. So we'll think about doing that. We've had a great run as we've done this year, and I remember I keep chuckling, John, when every time I think about our conversation when we started talking about doing this podcast, and I said, boy, is there enough to do a podcast on a recurring basis month after month just about document management. You kind of smiled, said, oh yeah, we won't run out of material. And it's very obvious to me now that we're certainly not ever going to run out of material.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the vendor community continues to develop new ways to use their tools more effectively and specialty tools to help as well. That just gives us more information to share with the audience.
Sure. Well, we've kind of talked about the overview of how DMS document management solutions about how DMS fits in the firm's overall technology. We talked about how to evaluate. We talked about the market. We talked a lot about scanning, and that is really hot this year, isn't it?
Yeah, everybody's trying to figure out how to do it more effectively and what's the right kind of scanner to buy, and then you've got all these different options with scanning software tools to help organize, particularly in the area of 1040. So lots of good tools out there, and it's just a matter of, and services, and it's a matter of figuring out what's the best one for a given practice.
Right, and it's really fun to watch this whole that whole genre kind of develop. Dave Weil came up with SurePrep several years ago, and he kind of led the way, and then we had that Bachdip product, and now Thompson's got a product, and we've got that companion Gruntworks product, and I see that Intuit now includes that Gruntworks product. They've built that into Lacert and Pro Series. Ship that out. So there's going to be well over 100,000 firms in those using those two products. That all of whom will get to take a real hard look at that scan and sort function. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is, and it's good to see some competition out there. I think competition is the mother of innovation in a lot of these areas, and as you say, so many firms using these tools, that will do is ultimately help all the vendors develop even better solutions next time around. So
right.
Good to see that.
Yep, and lots of firms, I've talked to lots of firms talking about moving up the food chain to what I call scan and populate, actually peeling numbers off of those input forms and W-2s and K-1s and things, and automatically dropping those numbers into their tax software. And I think that's going to be something that we're going to see happening more and more in the next couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, everybody's trying to figure out how to use their staff resources more effectively, and so anything like that you can automate those manual and sometimes redundant tasks is a benefit to everybody.
Right, right. Well, we talked about workflow, and I think we could do a whole podcast every month just about workflow.
Yeah.
Same thing with portals. We talked about portals, and boy, things like 7216 are sure making firms take a real hard look at portals. I've seen some firms just simply say that as a firm policy, we don't allow attachments to go out of our out on email. We just don't send attachments. Everything goes into a portal.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of benefits and reasons to be doing that, and as people in firms get more comfortable with the whole concept of a portal and come to understand them a little bit more effectively, then it makes it for an easy decision for them to go down that path. So
right.
Yeah.
And lots of really good, solid, innovative solutions being rolled out. I don't want to carry the Intuit water here, but Intuit just rolled out their portal product. They've been a little late to the game, I think, because CCH and Thompson have had these for years. But they just rolled out their delivery system for their customers. So everybody's in the game now.
Yeah, well, and that's a good indication that it's hit critical mass when it gets to that level. So that just
exactly
reaffirms the credibility of the whole concept.
Sure. So the last couple of months, we talked about DMS on the tax side a couple of months ago, and then last month we talked about it over on the A&A side. Today we want to talk about DMS on the practice management side. This is in the firm management, in the internal side, and I'm real excited to hear where we want to go with this, because while it's the same technology, it is fundamentally very, very different, because in all of the other cases we have one or many people working on multiple things. We do multiple tax returns, we do multiple write-ups and reviews and audits, and there are staff people working on multiple, at least we hope we have multiple clients. But when we're into the practice management stuff, we've got everybody looking at one thing, and obviously not everybody seeing the same things, but it's fundamentally different, isn't it? When you start to think about it, about how it gets rolled out, it's the same technology but a different application, right?
Yes, absolutely. You just got to kind of step back and take a mapping of all the different types of files and documents that you manage and maintain relative to the firm administration, and then figure out, okay, what's the best way to organize this information so that people can get to it quickly, and also that only the properly authorized people can get to the information that we put out there. The way I like to kind of start the conversation with practice management and document management software is think of the use of the DMS system in your firm administration as kind of like the bonus return on investment. Obviously, the primary value proposition for document management software is to help transform your core service processes to a paperless model, primarily in the area of tax, but also in the area of assurance services and accounting services and maybe other specialized services. So that's where the focus has been on our podcast, and that's where it should be initially, but there's ample opportunity to leverage the document management system in all the administrative information that flows through your firm, through your practice. So start with it from that perspective, and then we can talk about, so what are some of the things, what are some of the ways in which you can leverage the document management system in that regard? And so I've made some notes here, some things I thought would be helpful to share with our audience and give them some food for thought about how they might take better advantage of their DMS.
Okay.
One way, first off, is simply think of the situations in your practice where you're creating a duplicate copy of your source documents, whether that be checks that are going out in the mail or invoices that are going out to your clients. For years in our offices, we've always kept a duplicate copy, sometimes a triplicate copy, for our records. You can eliminate that on day one with your document management system, because as part of the system, you'll have the capability. You don't necessarily have to have a document management system per se to do this, but it really facilitates it more effectively. But let's take, for example, doing a check run of your accounts payable checks. You could just go to basically a single-part check form, and rather than printing a two-part check form, just run your check run, your check printing run a second time, and the second time you print it to PDF and file it away in a designated section of your document management system.
Sure.
And then you can secure it using the functionality of the DMS system. And you don't need to, a question that sometimes comes up in this area is, well, if I'm sending out, say, 50 checks, should I separate those as 50 separate PDF files so I can go back and keep them organized by vendor or by payee.
Right.
And my answer to that would be no. That's a lot of extra work for very little benefit, because when you have the whole check run in a PDF file, you're going to have the ability to go back and say, okay, I want to search for all the checks that I wrote to ABC Company, even though it's intermingled or intermixed with a bunch of other checks. Doesn't
sure.
matter. You just pull up that one file for that check run. And do your search. And, if you keep them all in the same file cabinet or drawer, whatever the nomenclature is that your DMS system uses, you can just go in there and say, I want to search all my check registers for the last 6 months and, again, find me any checks that I wrote to ABC Company. So that's an immediate benefit where, you're helping your firm go green, which everybody's, looking for ways to do that and all the benefits that come with that, saving on paper costs, wear and tear on the printers, and just having better access to the information. So that's almost, I'd call it a no-brainer.
Right, right.
And right alongside that would be also all of your practice management reports, a work-in-process report, your financial statements, your receivables agings. So not just the source documents, but instead of printing reports to paper and distributing them to the appropriate people, let's print them to a PDF or a TIFF format and store them in the document management system and let the people who need to get access to those reports know that they're in the system and they can go in there and get them that way. And there's a side benefit to doing this in that the people who may not be as comfortable in the firm with the whole concept of going paperless, as they just get more experience, doing that, working with files, electronic reports, that's just going to help them overall in their core workflows. So there's a little bit of a training tool there, if you will, to help reinforce that experience with the DMS system. And we've been in situations with firms where sometimes there are some reluctant people about the whole concept of going paperless. And if there's really strong resistance, we suggest, well, let's start with practice management. Instead of starting with your core workflows, maybe you start with practice management just for a six-month period at least to let people get their feet wet and get a little more comfortable with what this whole system's all about so that when they get to their core workflows, they're not, faced with a completely new system of organizing their files and documents.
Sure. So, John, this gives the ability for let's say, a firm administrator in the olden days, I guess, they would print practice management reports. And you'd print multiple copies and hand them out to the partners, right?
Exactly.
And then we got more clever, and we printed them to a PDF file and emailed them to the partners. That was kind of like phase two, right?
Yes.
And now we can, using the power of a DMS, you're suggesting we simply place those in the DMS and point the partners to them. So then your reports are available on a poll basis. Or maybe you send an email to everybody that says, the reports are now available and they can go get them when they want them.
Yes, exactly. And you would already presumably have set up the security parameters in the document management system for where those reports are going, so you don't have to necessarily worry about securing each individual file. It's going to be handled more by the fact of where you put it in the DMS system, so that also can keep it more efficient.
Sure.
Another side benefit of that is that you can also track who's actually reading the reports. So you send them out to, say, all the partners, and you go back and say, okay, well, three of the four partners aren't even reading the reports, so why are we putting that report out there? Or maybe, they're reading it frequently, and so you might want to look at other ways to get them that information even quicker yet. So you can use it as a little bit of a tool to see, what's working as far as reporting in the firm.
So, John, sometimes, some of the practice management systems, I suppose most of the larger firms are using probably either the Thompson product or the CCH product. Those are a couple of the more common ones. Those systems are starting to build in some, I'm going to call them document management types of functions where the reports are available from inside the applications. Does that start to cause a little bit of multiple ways to skin that cat, I guess is what I'm trying to say?
Well, if I'm understanding the point you're making there, is that the fact that in the practice management systems they're just doing a better job of integrating the document management system with the practice management application, that's
right.
Nothing but a complete positive to me. This is where I believe there's going to be a huge movement forward in the not just in the accounting and tax firms, but in business in general, where integrating the accounting system, if we can look at it more broadly, the billing system in the case of an accounting firm, or the billing system, the sales system in the case of a private enterprise, is the ability to get direct links from the transactions to the supporting documents is a huge benefit. I mean, that's a real time saver, because if you just look in every office and where they traditionally have file cabinets along the wall, those are cabinets that people are constantly going to when they want to get supporting information about some transaction that's in question in the billing system or the payable system.
Sure.
And now they'll have the ability to just pull those documents up directly while they're in the accounting application, or in that case, the practice management application. Could be a timesheet in the case of practice management to be able to see a copy of the, if it still happens to be a paper-based timesheet.
Sure.
Pulling that up. So I think that's definitely a good thing. Another point, we talk about putting the firm's practice management reports in the DMS. You might even want to consider, if your firm has a portal, taking it to the next step and say, let's use the portal internally as well. So let's set up our partner group, for example, as if they were clients, and let's publish the reports that they need to get access to via the portal tool. A couple things that happen there is the portal tool may be is more likely to have the functionality that you referred to, Greg, where it could send out that email notification automatically just by the fact that we posted a document to the portal. Let's say it's the firm's quarterly financial report, it may automatically generate an email notification to all the partners. They can click on that, and that would take them directly into that section in the document management system. So,
uh-huh.
that's one benefit, just to kind of streamline that whole communication to the
right.
partners that it's out there. But also, it's another example where the partners and other managers can get a better experience with the portal, so that when they work with clients and talk with clients, they can articulate the benefits of the portal. They can talk about how they're using it, and that just is going to help reinforce the value proposition to their clients and get their clients more anxious or interested in the using the portal that the firm provides for them as well. So just a little side benefit, I think, of going down that path.
Sure.
The next area I think we want to talk about is just the whole issue of the document management system and email. This is really one of the most significant developments that's taking place in document management systems is it really enhancing the way in which the document management system integrates with the email. And typically we're talking Outlook and Exchange. That's the predominant system, obviously, that's out there. So it's a great opportunity to, if you have a document management system, to really take the time and establish a clear policy about what do we do with email overall, and so what email are we going to keep in our DMS, and what email are we not going to keep in there. And I think that this policy has to be very simple and easy to follow, and I'd say easy to enforce, but some of these things are never easy to enforce, but definitely simple to follow and easy to understand. And so I would say, you got to categorize your emails into two basic groups. Those email messages which we would consider official and therefore should become part of the client's file, and those that are unofficial. And for the unofficial emails, you've got to have a policy that says either those have to get deleted within X number of hours, or 30 days or 60 days or 90 days, but it should be some short-term time frame so that you're not keeping those unofficial emails in the system, because those are the ones that have probably the greater potential to cause problems down the road if people
right.
are keeping inappropriate communications on the system and things of that nature.
So, John, I assume that today we're not going to be able to talk about like the rules of evidence and e-discovery and things, but this is a really big thing for people to understand. We're responsible to know the rules of civil procedure and if you get a summons, you better know how you're going to go about meeting that, right?
Absolutely. And, maybe we can have a podcast on that and get an attorney to help us out with that, because it is a real concern. And it's one of those areas where it's like, oh, it's not going to happen to me, but it can happen to you. And you could have a situation where somebody in your office is sending out inappropriate emails, and the appropriate agency comes in and says, we need to confiscate your server because that's got your we need your Exchange server to do our discovery of your what's on there. And so what do you do? How do you respond to that? And how does it impact your business? And it's one of those areas where the risk is out there, and it's just hard to even know what exactly are those risks. And then when I do know what the risks are, how do I go about taking the proper measures to prevent
exactly.
them?
And the good news is the document management vendors are beginning to offer products, services, modules I was going to almost say automatically, and it's not quite the right word, but certainly to help firms figure out how to handle the email problem and what goes into DMS and what doesn't and how that's handled. Some of those are out there, and firms are using them today quite effectively. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, that's been a growth area in terms of functionality in a lot of the DMS solutions that are out there. So I think the challenge is less on the technology side of it and more on just the policies and procedures and what is the best practice approach and how do we enforce that people are, in fact, following that. Because the counter argument to it is that, boy, I like to keep that information around because that's just like my diary. I don't have to take as many notes anymore because my emails become my notes. So it's there is a strong case to be made about the benefits of keeping a lot of email around. And so you have to really, again, establish what your strategy is and then what your policies and procedures are going to be to enforce, the proper approach to email messages.
But that's a little bit like, John, I'm an email pig, but many, especially small practitioners, tend to use Outlook as a document management system, an internal for themselves, a document management system. And the reason I think they do that, it's a lot like, many of them use Excel to do things that Excel was never really designed to do, and it's not particularly efficient, but they do it because they know it. It's handy. It's a tool that they use every day, and it kind of feeds in, you know, to the old throwaway line. If the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Outlook is really a pretty lousy document management system, right?
Absolutely, and you know, I think what's going to really help various vendors emerge as the winners in this regard is who can make their document management system integrate as directly as possible with Outlook and as seamlessly as possible, so that those of us who are working in Outlook think, well, we're really just kind of filing the information in Outlook, but in reality, it's actually putting the information in the proper spot in the document management system, and then if we're fully leveraging the capabilities of the DMS, we are also then using the document retention capabilities so that based upon the nature of the email topic, it will get filed in the right place, and then it'll get purged according to our document retention policy appropriately. So, you know, that I guess that maybe sounds a lot easier than the reality of making it actually all come together, but that's, I believe, a big area where there's going to be a lot of focus or continued focus is how do we kind of use Outlook as the front end, because we're seeing that in other applications as well, where the vendors, I think, who really get it realize that, well, you know, everybody's working in Outlook all day long, and that has become probably the primary interface for most people. So how do we integrate our application directly, but how do we keep it so it's a really seamless transition of information from Outlook into whatever the application is, in this case, document management?
Sure. What about the whole what I'm going to call the HR side, the staff management, payroll, all of that kind of stuff? That's also, I assume, a candidate for DMS?
Yes, absolutely. And in a lot of our work with firms, we help them kind of develop their organization strategy in terms of what documents get organized in what areas. This has always been a little bit of one of the tough ones, because when we talk about HR, there's really two sides to HR files. One is the what are truly the internal HR documents, as you mentioned, payroll reports, maybe some of the employee records, application forms, and so forth. And then you have the HR documents that need to be available to the employees. So you have to think about that. So there's really usually going to be two segments of your document management system dedicated to HR. Internal HR documents, and then employee-related HR documents. And you'll save yourself some frustration if you think about that right off the bat, so you don't have to go back and split those out later on, because you're very likely going to have a situation at some point where you're going to have an employee portal just like you have a client portal. So then you want to make sure that obviously whatever's going into the employee portal are just those documents that the individual employee should have secure access to as well.
So you want the employee needs to be able to see their W-4 and, well, their probably their W-2s, their pay stubs, things like that?
Yeah, anything that you would normally share with the employee. Could be even their appraisal reports, that keep a record of those as you do in performance appraisals would be another example. Maybe they have some information relative to the benefits policies and so on. And some of those also can be even generic enough that they're not employee-specific, so you put those even into a third category, which we would typically refer to that as like the library, the electronic library.
Right.
That's where you could put like copies of newsletters, maybe links to magazines, whatever information you want to share around the office instead of having to distribute paper copies to everybody or routing them through the office. Set up a library section of your DMS that it would have, logically organized sections for maybe audit technical information, tax technical information, then just general accounting and tax industry information, things like that, that people can just know they can go there and see, what information might be of use for them on a more generic level.
So when, John, do you start looking at things like that, say, this is where DMS ends and SharePoint begins?
Well, that's a great question, Greg. And, I know a lot of firms we talk to are looking at SharePoint and saying, this can be my document management system. And That's typically not my first choice, but there, you know, if you have a strong IT team that can spend the time to really work with that, you know, there's some possibilities there. But that's an evolving area. And I was at a presentation recently where Microsoft was talking about some of their applications. It was specifically a SharePoint presentation. So I asked the fellow, I said at the end, I said, so just confirm for me or not, is the long-term strategy for Microsoft to have SharePoint basically replace Windows Explorer? And he said, yeah, that's essentially where we're headed with this. So to that point, you know, when you think of SharePoint, is that, I believe, is going to continue to permeate the Windows and the Vista operating system and really become kind of the interface for how we manage information on our servers and our drives. I've always been surprised that Microsoft hasn't moved faster down that
right.
path.
Yep.
And so this may be really where they're focusing a lot of their efforts. So I don't know. We could do a whole present, you know, podcast on SharePoint. Maybe we should do that at some point because it's definitely evolving. And I'm not sure I have a good picture in my mind of where it best fits. But there's definitely a role for it, I think, in many firms.
But I see SharePoint as a framework rather than an application. So it's not appropriate to compare SharePoint to say ProFX Document or GoFileRoom or something, because they're one is an application and the other is like a framework.
Yeah, and I like the term because when you say framework, to me that makes me a little nervous because I've been in this business, you know, for many years, and it's the frameworks that can get you into trouble in terms of sinking a lot of time with the, you know, people who aren't maybe necessarily qualified to be working in that framework, and the next thing you know, you have what is intended to be an application, but it doesn't shake a stick against something that is out of the box, a, you know, fully functional application by a vendor who's been doing it for year in and year out, has, you know, many, many users. So that, I think that's, you hit on the key of where my concern is about SharePoint, is that it is the framework, and to me that means you could spend a lot of time in there.
Right. Well, it's, you could do a 1040 in Excel, but, well, in fact, they did. ATX was built on Excel. You know, so, I mean, it's possible. It's just not real practicable.
Right. And that's so people just have to be careful about that. I had a small firm recently call me up and says, you know, John, we want to do it. We want to get a portal. We want to put in a portal. What do you think about SharePoint? So, again, I said, well, that's not my first choice. Let's have a conversation about it. And, you know, then I showed them some other solutions. In their particular case, we showed them FileShare because it was one of the products I reviewed back in the summer
right.
in the magazine. And for what they wanted to do, which is just have a good tool for exchanging QuickBooks files, is really what they wanted to be able to do for their clients. I said, you will look at this. It's a very, you know, I felt a very cost-effective solution for them. And rather than try to put something together in SharePoint, they don't really have an IT staff. You know, they use an outsourced IT organization. So, you know, SharePoint's just going to get something that's going to suck up a lot of time for you to try to put together what's already out there for a very reasonable price in the marketplace.
Right. And, you know, there was a time when accountants had to be kind of technologists. We had to do these things because the vendors, we didn't have a vendor community that was developing all of these things for us. And now that we've got such a robust vendor community and all of these great applications, I think our time is much better served trying to choose the appropriate application rather than trying to build it ourselves.
Yes, absolutely, and it's a challenge. You know, there's many of us, obviously, in the profession who like the whole allure of working with technology and the excitement of it, and even those who aren't directly involved in technology services. It's a way to, you know, add a little excitement to sometimes what are sometimes more routine workflows. And so, you know, you always have to kind of balance that. You don't want to stifle people's interest and imagination in looking at new technologies. But when they start to cross the line where they want to build the application themselves, that's when I always get concerned in terms of the overall good for the practice. If, you know, that's not their core responsibility. And so it's easy to get sidetracked, again, spending a lot of time and ending up with a result that is not going to be effective.
Right. So what what have we missed as we've talked about the practice management side of DMS, John? What other areas do we need to talk about?
Well, I think the most important one, I wanted to save it for near the end here, is and this to me is like if you did anything in your firm relative to practice management, I would say this should be like one of your top initiatives for 2009, and that is to simply get in the model, the workflow, where you're sending your client invoices electronically via email. And this would be a case where I would probably make the argument that email attachment is preferred as opposed to a portal, publishing it to a portal.
Exactly.
You know, the information is not that sensitive in terms of, you know, personal information other than just what you're billing them.
Right.
But, you know, Greg, we started our business here at CPA Crossings in 2001, and we've never sent out a paper invoice. We've always emailed them, and it was just funny the other day because, you know, my partner Brian, he and I, well, I sent out three invoices, and within a half hour, I didn't get payments, but I got three responses, one from each of the companies I sent it to, just responded to it. It was, you know, I wasn't looking for a response. I just, you know, sent the email. And so the beauty of that is that it confirmed for me within a half hour that all three received it and were aware that they had an invoice. And, you know, in that particular case, there weren't any questions or whatever, but just kind of interesting affirmation that that's the right thing to do. And my best story is when I sent an invoice to a firm that I had a meeting with at 8 o'clock the next morning. I was billing them the night before, like before I went to bed, about 11 o'clock. And sure enough, I walked into the meeting that morning, and the firm administrator stopped me on the way into the meeting and handed me a check. So there's a direct benefit to cash flow. It's a great way to just save some personnel costs, the whole issue of printing invoices, stuffing them in an envelope, putting the postage on them, and you have no idea how many days it's going to sit on somebody's desk, the wrong person's desk at the other end.
Right.
And, you know, again, the document management system can certainly help with this in terms of organizing those invoices, but it's really more outside the DMS. It's really just about making sure you generate an electronic copy of the invoice and send it as an email attachment. I think every firm should be really looking at this as a top initiative because cash flow, I think, is going to be one of the biggest challenges for firms in 2009. You know, as we know, the economy is very soft. That's probably an understatement.
Especially in Michigan.
Yeah, exactly. So anything we can do to expedite cash flow, and if you can drop 7 to 10 days off the cycle, even if it's a 60-day payment cycle, anything you can do to drop some time off that is going to be a benefit. Absolutely.
You know, one of the we don't have time to go real far into it, but some of the more advanced thinking firms have adopted some of the kind of the leading edge modules in the practice management systems out there that actually allow a response right on that PDF. There's simply a thing that says click here to pay, and automatically allow that firm that the person that you've billed to click on an icon and authorize either their credit card or their checking account or a direct payment or a PayPal or lots of different ways to do it, but collect the money electronically right at that point. That's getting pretty smart too.
Absolutely, yeah. Those would definitely be, as you say, leading edge firms that are doing that. But that's ultimately where you want to try to get this to go to. And then, because then what one of the benefits is you move away from where the invoice is kind of becomes the project management or engagement management document. I mean, that's what's happened traditionally, right? We generate the invoice from all the things that are in WIP, and we decide, well, let's see if we can bill this charge or that charge. And then the client gets it and says, I don't think this is the appropriate charge. And so what it's intended to be an invoice for payment of services ends up becoming, in many cases, a negotiation document. And if we can take the whole payment process paperless, then there's better ways to do that. And we could get into a whole conversation about that. I also wanted to make the point that it's not directly DMS, but as you go more and more paperless, I think that the whole philosophy of going to results-based billing and moving away from efforts-based or hourly-based billing, which is what Ron Baker's been, preaching about for a number of years.
Exactly.
That makes so much sense because as you continue to get efficient, more and more efficient in providing better service to your clients, you need to be able to make sure that you're focusing on the profitability of your practice as well. And And when you go to results-based billing or value billing, as Ron Baker refers to it, then you're going to eliminate a lot of the time spent negotiating invoices.
Exactly. And of course, more and more and more firms are now over, my research shows well over half the firms are way into to negotiated billing before the work begins. You know, we'll do that job for this many dollars and only in doing, just like contractors do, change orders and moving forward with things like that.
Yeah, it's just a great business practice, and, you know, we've been a little behind the curve there on the as far as the profession, but it's good to hear that those kind of numbers that you're talking about, that people are coming to that level.
Yep, we've moved a long way. Well, John, we came up with a couple of good ideas today. One on this whole idea of e-discovery and the rules of evidence and things like that. And I think we should talk. We'll do that offline. We'll visit a little bit about maybe doing a whole podcast just around things like that. I think that would be really, really valuable. That's a place where the larger firms can dedicate someone to say, you know, go off and learn about that, figure out everything that I need to know. But for the other 90% of us that are in smaller firms, it's hard to get all that information. And I think that would be a valuable one to do.
Yeah, well, I agree. Let's do that. Let's make that happen.
Right. Okay. And then we talked about a couple of other things that we might come back and revisit. And we constantly get requests to talk more about portals. And we've gone through this over and over, but it's an area of, I think, of huge interest, because, you know, so many firms have these kind of one-off applications for portals. They work really well. They'll say, well, you know, I use send this file or something. You know,
right.
You can do that for one or two or even four or five, but all of a sudden, when you get to 50 or 100 or 300 or 500, it's just plain not manageable anymore. And that's where I think many firms just aren't—they're not thinking about that.
Right, and you know, we've been talking about portals for a few years now, but what's happening is firms are really starting to take that next step and really wanting to leverage the portal concept. So now they want to learn, you know, a little bit more precisely about what's the best way to do it, what are the best practices. So definitely we should revisit that.
Yep, exactly. So we also visited a little bit earlier, John, before we started recording, about some plans for DMA for accountants for next year, maybe a little bit of a format change in how we might talk about specific products. What are you thinking about with that?
Well, we have done the annual reviews for the last few years on the different document management and document storage solutions out there in the magazine. Usually that's done in the summertime issues. And so why not take advantage of that research, and let's leverage a little bit further. And, you know, we can dedicate some of these podcasts to taking, you know, a given product for a certain podcast, and just kind of articulate what we found in the review of that application, and maybe bring in a practitioner who's using the system, or maybe bring in the someone from the developer's office that can talk about what's coming up next with their upgrade plans and so forth, just to help our audience get a little bit better information, a little more detailed information about a given solution. And anything we can do in that regard, I think it's helpful to them as they make decisions about what path to go down for their software investments.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that I want to make sure that everybody thinks about when they, you know, when you hear that, my first reaction would be, well, John, if you're going to talk about GoFileRoom, and I don't use GoFileRoom, then I'm not going to listen to that podcast. That'd be silly. It'd be a waste of my time. But I don't want people to think that. What I want them to think about is I'm using, for example, I use CCH ProFX Document. I should very definitely listen to the GoFileRoom. In fact, it's probably more important to listen to the GoFileRoom presentation, because I need to understand what I'm missing, or I need to understand that there's a different method, a different way to look at things, that maybe the solution I've got is not the very best solution for my company. Maybe there's something that that kind of tweaks my interest in a way that that GFR happens to attack something that I could apply over on my side. Is that an appropriate way to think?
Absolutely. I mean, I can just, from my personal experience doing the reviews of the different solutions, is I look at that as, for me, as an educational experience, because you like you say, you get to an understanding of how different developers are approaching the application, and you may come across some new functionality. You say, boy, I've never even really thought about that or seen that before. And so even if you're already established in a particular solution, you know, you can be, as a user of software, you can be one of the greatest input resources for the developers. So maybe you learn something about product A that you want to go back to your vendor who's product B and say, hey, why can't we do this in our product? And, you know, so it can be a way to help evolve the development of the solution that you're already using. Or you may find that in some cases, boy, there's such a much better solution out there, I wasn't aware of that. And so, yeah, it's definitely worth the time, even if you already have a particular solution. I would agree.
Well, those will that will be fun, John. We're used up our allotted time, so we need to wrap up. Thanks so very much for the excellent review on document management in practice management. A lot of things to think about in there. A lot of things that I had not thought about. So I want to thank you for that. I want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas, and I hope you have a relaxing, refreshing time with your family. Are you traveling?
No, just pretty much staying here in Michigan. So enjoy the cold weather, I guess. But thank you as well, and you have a Merry Christmas. And to all of our audience, I hope the holiday seasons are great for everybody, and we'll get off to 2009 with a great start.
Super. John, thank you so very much. I've been visiting with John Higgins, a principal with CPA Crossings in Metro Detroit, the godfather of document management systems for accounting firms across the country. This has been Document Management for Accountants, Episode 11. We will record Episode 12 on Tuesday, January 12th, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Everybody have a great holiday. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Greg.
This has been Document Management for Accountants to Go, Episode 11, DMS in Practice Management.
More information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit www.cpatechadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune into future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.